Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join his chariot." So Philip ran over to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit up with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came across some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up and out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Good morning, my name is John Herring and I'm the pastor of Grace Church Leatherhead, and we are in the middle of a series in the book of Acts which we've entitled The Unstoppable Gospel. Because if we've learned one thing from Acts so far, it's that God is in absolute control of the unstoppable advance of his good news. On the macro level, he has promised it, and in the small detail, he is absolutely committed and involved in it. Right now, I think we can see that our culture in the West is hard-hearted towards the gospel. And we can look at some churches in our country who have clearly given up on preaching the gospel, either because they've moved away from it theologically, or because they've become so disheartened themselves at the lack of the response to the gospel, they've tried to become culturally relevant, and they've been drawn away actually by cultural trends. And in our Western-centric mindset, we can get disheartened and think the church is dying. But we mustn't lose sight of the fact that the church is growing, and the gospel is advancing at an astonishing rate across the globe right now. Take China, for instance. It's hard to get accurate statistics on the number of Christians in China, because due to government persecution, many worship in unofficial house churches underground. But conservative estimates back in 2010 suggested that China's Christian population was then at over 68 million, and that it has grown at 10% annually. Some experts predict that there'll be more Christians in China than in the USA by 2030, and that China could be a majority Christian culture by 2050. If you want to read more about this, there's an excellent chapter about the diversity and growth of Christianity in Rebecca McLaughlin's excellent book, Confronting Christianity, 12 Questions for the World's Largest Religion. And actually, that title alone shows us the bare fact that God is in control. The world's largest religion. Don't forget the origins of Christianity. The book of Acts shows the very beginning of the growth of God's people, of Christianity and his church. From just a few disciples hidden away in a room after Jesus' ascension, to billions of believers 2,000 years later. God is in the business of bringing people to know him in the most diverse of situations and ways. Throughout Acts, it's as if Luke keeps zooming in and out the camera lens from the big picture to the small details. And here in our passage today, it's as if Luke zooms right in on one small but incredibly significant micro moment where we see God working out his sovereign plan in the life of one individual man. Because we see God is in complete control of his unstoppable gospel going out to the nations, even in ordaining the times and details of individuals' lives. In these verses, we're still with Philip. And now we see Luke records this remarkable incident that happens to him after his time in Samaria. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah. Did you notice God's sovereignty in it all? Who was it that brought Philip down to this specific place? God did, through an angel. "Rise and go," the angel says, and he tells him exactly where to go. Who spoke to Philip and told him to approach this man on his chariot? God did, verse 29, as his Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." Who arranged this quite remarkable coincidence that at this very moment, the Ethiopian vice chancellor would be reading this particular part of scripture, Isaiah 53, at this very moment when Philip turns up? God did. And who was working in the heart of this Ethiopian man at this time that he should be so hungry and wanting to know the good news of the gospel at the very moment that Philip comes alongside him? God did. The Ethiopian asks, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. God is in charge. He makes sure Philip is in the right place, at the right time, at the right point that he might reveal Jesus to this particular man, this lost Ethiopian eunuch, on this day. The man is travelling back to his homeland of Ethiopia, which was the Old Testament land of Cush. He's an important man and is travelling in style in his chariot. He's a high-ranking official, Queen Candace's Chancellor of the Exchequer, with the responsibility of looking after all her treasure. And so in worldly terms, in his context, he would have been esteemed and honoured. But there's a twist to this story. He's been on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Now, we don't know the backstory, but clearly events have occurred in his life that have led him to seek to worship the God of the Jews. Maybe there's Jewish blood in his ancestry. Or maybe he is converted. We don't know. But clearly, he is seeking God to the extent that he is willing to travel all the way to Jerusalem to worship him. And the eunuch, while he was in Jerusalem, would have visited the temple. But there he would have been confronted with a very different situation. Because rather than being esteemed and honoured, he would have been confronted with quite the opposite treatment. As far as Jewish temple laws went, he was an outsider. As a eunuch, he wouldn't have been allowed inside the temple, whether or not he was a Jew. He was considered impure. And as a foreigner, it gets worse because he wouldn't have been allowed into the inner courts. And as he stood there outside in the outer temple courts with the other Gentiles, there would have been a great wall around him, preventing him from going any further. And posted on the wall in Latin and Greek was written, "No man of another race is to enter within the fence and enclosure. Whoever is caught will only have himself to thank for the death that follows." A huge sign, keep out. And so as he visited the greatest symbol of God's presence, the temple, longing to come close to the God who he has come to worship, he would have been faced with this awful reminder that he was not and never could be a full member, a true insider, one of God's people. Or could he? Because it seems that this man had not given up hope. He was truly seeking. His heart longed to know God. Was there a way? And so he visits the temple bookstall. He picks up a copy of Genesis and they're doing a two-for-one, so he grabbed a copy of Isaiah as well. And on his way back to Ethiopia, he's travelling in his chauffeur-driven chariot, heading back to work. He tries to finish his holiday reading. And as he lies back and reads out loud, he finds himself at Isaiah 53, where God explains how it is that the nations, even eunuchs from foreign nations like Cush, could be brought into God's rich blessing by the death of his servant. His servant and his servant's suffering. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. But as he reads it, he doesn't understand it. He doesn't get it. And at that very moment, Philip approaches his chariot under the divine direction of the Spirit. Luke couldn't be making it clearer. This is no coincidence. God has ordained this meeting between Philip, his devoted messenger, and this eunuch from a far-off country, but who is known and seen by God. He has ordained this exact circumstance and timing down to the second, and now he ordains that his word be brought to this man. Because God is in complete control of his unstoppable gospel going out to the nations, taking his word about Christ to individual ears. He's already put his word in this man's hands, and now he's put a hunger to understand it in his heart. And so now he asks Philip exactly the right question. About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. This passage in Isaiah comes in a section where the prophet Isaiah speaks of a day when a servant of God would come and would go willingly to his death as a sacrificial lamb in order to take the judgment of God. The eunuch, having been in Jerusalem at the temple, would have seen numerous animals sacrificed. And the purpose of the sacrificial animal was to symbolically carry God's judgment in the place of the one offering it, so that they could have access to relationship with God through forgiveness without fear of judgment. But throughout the history of this Jewish practice, no one was under any illusion that the animal could truly carry the entirety of a man's sin on itself. A lamb was clearly not an adequate sacrifice. It could only symbolically picture the necessity for sins to be forgiven by God. To be given fully, in a lasting way, the sin of God's people would need to be taken by a far more sufficient sacrifice. And so the prophet Isaiah spoke of this servant of God, a man, fully human and perfectly divine, who goes to his death to take the judgment sin deserves upon himself. And not just the sin of the Jewish people, but of the whole of mankind, because he was a truly sufficient sacrifice. But these prophets wrote mysteries that didn't really fully understand themselves. They wrote in the words of prophecy, a word veiled, not yet fully revealed. But as the eunuch reads it, he too, like those who wrote it, was grasping to understand as he heard phrases like, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. He bore the sin of many," verse 12 of Isaiah 53. Maybe he sensed that there was a hope in these verses, even for him, an outsider. Yet on his own, he was unable to truly understand. And so unable to arrive at the joy he searched for, it's no wonder then that the eunuch asks, "Who is this about?" And now God, in his kindness and complete sovereignty, ordains for Philip to give him the answer. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Who is it who went like a sheep led to slaughter, to die willingly and selflessly, humbly and obediently? Who is it who, like a lamb, has died sacrificially as a perfectly obedient substitute for the sins of all humanity? Who is this divine person who can satisfactorily achieve what thousands of sacrifices over the centuries have failed to achieve? Who is it that takes God's judgment at your sins and mine on our behalf so that we can be forgiven? And who is it through whom we can find true joy, satisfaction, and transformation? It's Christ. Jesus has done everything that the temple and the sacrificial system pointed to. Jesus Christ has made it possible to come back into relationship with our Creator God, which is what we're made for. He has fulfilled and answered our deepest questions. It is all about Jesus. If you're watching today and you haven't yet received God's forgiveness and given your life to Christ, he's calling you to do exactly that. It's certainly no random chance event that you're hearing his word today. And maybe you've got more questions. Well, please get in touch with us. If you're a regular at Grace Church Leatherhead, then you can you've got my contact details. But if you're tuning in by chance, you can find my details on the website, and I would love to hear from you. I'd love to explore the message of the gospel with you further. Please get in touch. Because God ordains that it is through his word that Christ's kingdom is spread. And he reigns over where it goes, right down to the individual details of each person's ears. We saw this last week in verse 4. Those who were scattered went about preaching the word. And verse 5, he proclaimed to them the Christ. Verse 12, he preached good news. And verse 25, they testified and spoke the word of the Lord, preaching the gospel to many villages. And in verse 35 of our passage, Philip opened his mouth. Luke gives us his very clear, vivid picture in case we aren't sure how the vocal thing works. And beginning with the scriptures, he told him the good news about Jesus. Verse 40, as they pass through, he preaches the gospel. Different events and different settings. A mass group in the middle of the city centre of Samaria, small groups in villages, and now one-on-one in a chariot. But all of them include verbal explanations, because it's through the proclamation of his word that God has designed for the kingdom of Jesus to grow. The word which tells about Jesus. And notice verse 31, what the eunuch says. How can I understand unless someone guides me? So verse 35, Philip opens his mouth. This is helpful for us, for all of us reading this. For those of us who haven't yet understood the message of the Bible, or those of us who struggle to read and understand the Bible for ourselves, it helps us to see we need help. God doesn't intend for us to arrive at the truth or to continue it by ourselves. What we are seeing in our passage today is that we need help to understand these things. It's not only God's will that we hear this word, but that we are helped to understand it. And so if you've heard the word of God and understood it, you have a twofold mission. Firstly, to take the gospel out. We can and we should witness to the love of Christ through our actions, but we also need to open our mouths. We need to speak of Christ and the good news of his coming. To be bold to speak of Jesus Christ in the office at work. To speak to the person who we regularly see walking our dog or on the pitch side at the football or at the school gate. Giving people books and even better Bibles is a great first step, but we can't just hope they will work it out for themselves, because God wants to use his people to help bring his word to the world. And this takes being willing to take the time to really explain the gospel to others. And Philip is a great model of how to go about this. He simply asks the eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He offers to read the Bible with him and to help him understand. Too often, we can fall into thinking that the gospel will only go out if we get it right, if we just communicate it in the right way. We start thinking it's all about us doing the right thing at the right time and us doing all the hard work. And we inadvertently remove God from the equation. But what a mistake, because it is God who produces the hunger. And it's even God who produces the faith. We've seen here that Philip acted under the direction of the Spirit. It was God who brought him to the right person at the right time. And if we're committed to praying and really having our eyes open to what God is doing expectantly, then I think we will see him guide us in ways we haven't seen before. Many of you will know Caroline Pugh. You'll know that recently she was in hospital for cancer treatment, which, praise God, she has once again been healed of. But the night that she was in, she was struggling to sleep, and so was the lady in the bed next to her. And so she simply asked this lady the question, "Do you know Jesus?" And they chatted, and it turned out that this young lady was from a Christian family, but she'd never put her faith in Jesus. Well, after a bit more chat and Caroline explaining the gospel to her, this young lady put her faith in Christ. And Caroline told me about another conversation that she had the next day with a nurse as well. Caroline was only in the hospital for 18 hours that time. And what an impact she had. God ordained for her to be there and to meet those people, but she took the opportunity. Our job is simply to pray and then to open our mouths and speak when we see an opportunity given. And secondly, we have a mission to keep speaking the gospel to one another. As we saw last week, this is an ongoing thing. We continue to encourage and teach others to help us grow in our love and knowledge of God through looking at his word together. We do this on a Sunday and throughout the week, in midweek groups and as we meet up one-to-one. For those of us who've been studying the Bible for some time and have received the benefit of excellent Bible teaching over the years, it's now our turn to open our mouth as Philip did, to be the useful member of the home group who helps others to understand God's word, or maybe to lead a home group or a Christianity Explored group. I'm personally so grateful to the many people who were part of my journey to faith and who have helped me grow in the faith over the years by doing this. From those who first shared the gospel with me, to the many people who have got alongside me and led Bible study groups and read the Bible one-to-one and helped me understand it better. And to all those who still do, I'm so grateful. We never stop needing God's word explained to us because it is so rich and deep, and there will always be depths we haven't plumbed. We need to keep speaking the word to one another and keep hungering to have it spoken to us. And so now we come to the man's response upon hearing the gospel. Because we'll see, God is in complete control of his unstoppable gospel going out to the nations, drawing people from far and wide into his family through the cleansing blood of Christ. Not all conversions are as straightforward as this eunuch's. Sometimes they are. People are searching. They ask the right questions. God places someone in their life and they come to faith. That's actually pretty much how it was for me. Others come to faith kicking and screaming. But always, in any conversion, God is behind the scenes. He has done the work to prepare hearts. And here we have a man who God has brought to a point of complete readiness. The eunuch is a God-fearing man. He is searching for truth and for a relationship with God. And so, having heard the good news of Jesus from Philip, he asks, "Here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" It's a really interesting question, because until a few minutes ago, he would have probably thought there was rather a lot to prevent him. Faced with the temple walls and a dead lamb that he knew could never have been enough. But now, once again, the Ethiopian man asks exactly the right question. What prevents me from being fully included? And because God has sovereignly ordained for the awesome message of the gospel to reach this individual Ethiopian's ears, he knows the right answer. Nothing. Because of Jesus Christ. He has heard that when we put our trust in Jesus, whoever we are, wherever we're from, whatever our past, we will be fully accepted. There is no longer anything in the way of him coming into the relationship with the God he has longed to worship forever. And so the unstoppable gospel continues to spread as he stops the chariot and Philip baptizes him. Baptism is the new sign of the covenant, the symbolic sign of the Christian being washed clean of their sin and rising to new life in Christ, something that happens upon repentance and faith. And for the eunuch, he was baptized immediately. Now, for me, this wasn't something that anyone explained to me, and so it wasn't until years later that I became convicted that I should be and was baptized. And this is something that all Christians should do. It's a beautiful moment for a Christian. There's nothing magical or special about the water. Baptism itself isn't what saves us, but it's an act of grace that Jesus calls us to, a moment that we can look back on and be reminded of our commitment to him and his forgiveness of us. The physical water that we go down into reminds us of his power to wash us clean through his blood, and as we rise up again out of the water, of our resurrection hope in him. It's a sacrament that God uses in our walk with him to help minister to us the truth of what he has done in our life and will continue to do as he transforms us to be more like his son. When you respond to Christ and receive his forgiveness and put your faith in him, you should be baptized. It might be that some of you who are listening have put your trust in Jesus, but you haven't been baptized yet. Well, on Easter Sunday, if possible, we're hoping to have a baptismal service. And if you would like to be considered for that, then please let me know. And as I mentioned in an email, Ben and Lucy will be running baptismal classes for any of the youth who are wanting and seeking to be baptized. What a joyous moment it is for this Ethiopian eunuch as he is fully welcomed into God's family, as he comes to faith and is baptized. He is also a picture of the sovereign work of God among the nations. The details are here to show us that God is at work, sovereignly ordaining the times and circumstances of individuals' lives, sovereignly bringing his word to their ears, so that he can sovereignly draw people from every nation into his family, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And as the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing, verse 39, we see a small microcosm of the rejoicing that will one day echo out across the whole of the new creation. That is the promise for all who put their trust in Christ. And if you're watching today and perhaps hearing the gospel for the first time, you have a chance to be part of that rejoicing too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in complete control of every little detail. We thank you that you are in the business of bringing people to know you and love you, that you open blind eyes, you soften hard hearts, that there is no one that is too far away from you. And Lord, I pray for all those who are listening this morning who have already trusted in you. Lord, I pray that you would give us a boldness to speak of you, to share this wonderful news, that we would, you would show us that you have placed us in specific places at purposeful times to share your good news, and that you might use us to bring many to know you. And Lord, for those who are listening this morning who haven't yet received you into their lives, into their hearts, Lord, might you be drawing them this morning. Would they now, in this moment, pray to you and ask you to reveal yourself to them? And I pray that there would be people around them who would be able to help them. Lord, would we be able to help them and explain the gospel to them? Lord, thank you so much that you speak to us by your word, that you speak into our lives and draw us to yourself. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.